We are continuing. I said to the elders this morning, I feel like I haven't been in the pulpit in a month. That was only 1 week. We're back in the Sermon on the Mount. We are nearing the end. This morning, just dealing with three verses in chapter 7, 21 through 23. Give your attention now. It's even just three verses. These are reading of the living word of the living God. 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. May the Lord add a blessing to this reading of his word. May that word encourage and strengthen our faith, drive us to the Lord Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we have worshiped in song and prayer and giving, and now we would come, Father, and worship by hearing by the word of God, for faith comes by that word. We pray, Father, that you'll bless the one who speaks, would not come to be entertained or to just pass the time. But we have come, O Lord, to hear the very word of God from one of your servants, and we pray now that you'll bless the speaker and the hearer to the praise and glory of Jesus, whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Who do you think you are? We usually say that when somebody behaves in a way that they have no right to behave. It's said when someone acts like they do have the right and authority to be rude, arrogant, judgmental, or selfish. You say, who do you think you are? The Bible's way of putting it is Matthew 20:25, where Jesus said, the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. The Greek word lord it over them means to put somebody under your power, to master, to hold them in subjection. It is a put down. Who do you think you are walking into my office without knocking? That's kind of the way that would go. Like you have a right to just walk in. Who do you think you are calling yourself a Christian? What gives you the right? That's really what this text is addressing. Jesus has just said in verse 15, beware of false prophets. And now he says, beware of false professors. And by the way, let's be clear, not just them. But the question is, what about me? A disciple of Christ, a believer. I go to church. I read the Bible. I give. Who do I think I am? Sermon on the Mount concludes with a most searching question about your faith. Am I a real Christian? How do I know? You know, there are some people that would say, should a Christian even ask this question? Is asking this question some kind of a lack of faith? There are some in the Christian church who think any kind of doubting is a dirty word. But this text answers the question with a straightforward check on the reality of genuine faith. Everyone, that means you, that means you, that means me, would do well to consider the presumption stated, the assertion made, and then the declaration given. What is the presumption stated? Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, I am a Christian, is actually a Christian. The profession of faith is rather easy. It is a very simple thing to say, I am a Christian. You can look at all kinds of demographic tests and surveys. And when they do America's number, in fact, it's dropped about 10% in the last 20 years, but used to be 87% of Americans said they were Christians. Now it might be something like 75%. But to live the Christian life is not as simple as to say, I am a Christian. Brothers and sisters, it is very easy to walk an aisle. It's easy to assume that since you go to church, since you were raised in a Christian home, and you do Christian things, that you are a Christian. Fake diamonds, somebody has said, take a very short time to make. And they look very much like the real thing. And the corollary here is that quickly made Christians often look like the real thing, but they have never gone through the fires of trial. They've never dealt with real sorrow. They have a pressure on them that they've never really felt of self-sacrifice, service. And there are people who are calling themselves Christians who do not produce the fruits of repentance. They're strangers to the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. They may look like Christians. They may sound like Christians. They may think they are real Christians. And Jesus says, not everyone who says, I am a Christian. Brothers and sisters, just those words from Jesus ought to make us not trust our feelings. Well, I feel like a Christian. Because feelings come and go, don't they? You shouldn't even trust your words. Have you ever said anything that you didn't follow through on? Have you ever made a promise you didn't keep? At least three people nodded their heads. Have you ever said anything that never amounted to anything? Yes, we have. Don't trust your words. Don't trust yourself. Because what does the Bible say? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. You can fool yourself. And brothers and sisters, don't compare yourselves to others. What this is asking is, look at your life. Is there any evidence that you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? A real diamond and a fake diamond look very much the same. In fact, in some cases, it takes an expert with a little glass to tell the difference. You didn't cheat on the ring, did you, Evan? Ethan, you didn't cheat on the ring, right? Evan. Right? Good. Are you sure, Emmy? There's a big difference between, and how about the price? There's a big difference between the two. And yet there's a world of difference in value between a real Christian and a false Christian. Brothers and sisters, they may look a lot alike, but there's an eternity of difference on the day of judgment. Many will say to me, what did they say? Lord, Lord. These are people, brothers and sisters, who claim to know Jesus. What is your claim based on? Is it national privilege? Do you just think because you're a citizen of the United States of America, a Christian nation, that that makes you a Christian? You understand that true faith is not geography? And if you think true faith is geography, ask Israel. Destroyed in 70 AD. Do you think that your Christian faith is family tradition? Cultural and historical connections? Brothers and sisters, the cultural and historical connections you have don't make you a Christian. I don't care that your dad's a pastor. Are you a Christian? Your dad's an elder in the church. Your grandfather was a missionary. Whoop-de-doo! Are you a Christian? You're not a Christian because your mom and dad are Christians. Because your grandfather was an elder in the right kind of Reformed church. How about splendid professions? Lots of people put their trust in the fact that they were baptized in a wonderful ceremony. Or that they go to regular attendance at church. You ever had the thought? Well, I'm more faithful in my attendance than they are. We sing the songs. Look at those people over there. They don't even sing. I read my Bible. All of those things are like saying, Lord, Lord. Look at what we're doing. These are people who would tell you they are Christians. And Jesus says, not everyone who says he is. So what's the difference? Well, one of those texts that is so striking is James 1, verse 22. What? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And that's exactly what Jesus says. What does he say? Not everyone who says, I'm a Christian, is a Christian. Not all of them will enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You understand that obedience to the Word of God is the indication of real faith? Was it not the very original sin? Do what I'm telling you. Don't bother with that tree. What shows you that a person is reliable and trustworthy? Is it that they adhere to the Westminster Confession of Faith? That their doctrine is reformed and pure? And truly reformed? Is it the fact that they're in the OPC? Is that what makes them trustworthy? I know some untrustworthy OPC people. I probably shouldn't have said that. But I think we all know. It's not your doctrine in life that shows whether somebody is reliable and trustworthy. Someone who speaks the truth but lives a lie is a false prophet. That's what Jesus had just taught about. Beware of them. And somebody who professes to live the truth but lives a lie is just as false. He who does the will of my Father. Brothers and sisters, God is and God has spoken. And his word is the way. His word is the truth. His word is the life. And a Christian ought to follow his word carefully and as doggedly as he can. How did Jesus put it? Matthew 7, verse 20. By their fruits you will know them. That was the evidence of their faith. In fact, he makes it clear. Bad tree cannot produce good fruit. Good tree cannot produce bad fruit. There is a difference between the fruit. And you can tell the difference. There's a presumption being made. How many of you are sitting here thinking, he's not talking about me? That's the danger that Jesus is saying. You think you're a Christian. What is the assertion made? What are they going to say? Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day. What day? Judgment day. Judgment day. They're going to come with confidence. They're going to walk up to the throne of grace, sure that they stand on the rock. And by the way, not just a few, many. Many will come and say to him. And their walk and their talk don't match up. Their life and their words are out of sync. Their claim is going to be their shame. Listen, they're going to present themselves before the judge of all the earth. And they're going to present themselves to the judge of all the earth as his loyal servants. And will say to him, to who? To Jesus the judge. To the Lamb of God. To the spotless, holy, sinless Christ. The same one they are speaking to now. They're going to say what? Lord, Lord, have we not? Look at our record. Have we not done Christian things in your name? They preached. They healed. They ministered in his name. But it was in name only. How many healers in our day, in the days gone past, have been shown to be showmen? You understand, brothers and sisters, that an awful lot of these very famous healers with healing ministries have been shown to fake healings while they were raising money and getting rich? It's happened on more than, I was going to say more than one occasion, it's happened on more than five occasions. Do you understand that there are churches right now claiming to be Christ's churches that promote things that God says he hates? And doing so while saying, Lord, Lord, we believe in Jesus. These are people who say, we performed many mighty works. They might even be saying it like this. Do you think non-believers can act like believers? Let me ask you, do you think non-believers can act like believers? What about Judas? You realize he was one of the 12. He was sent out by the Lord Jesus to preach, to teach, and what we think, to cast out demons. Judas! 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. You realize that the devil can do all kinds. He's not all powerful, but he is powerful. And he can do all kinds of things that are astounding and will deceive many. Acts 19, verse 14. Do you remember the sons of Sceva or Sceva? Probably don't. They were seven sons of a high priest, we think a Levite. And the seven sons tried to do an exorcism. And they got beat up and overpowered by the guy they tried to exorcise the demons from. Remember they said, "We cast you out in the name of Jesus." And the demon said what? "Paul I know, Jesus I know, but I don't know who you are. I don't know what name you're using." In other words, brothers and sisters, false prophets might do amazing things and still be false prophets. They might still be a sham. They might still be trying to deceive in His name. You understand that just because a ministry is big, just because a ministry is successful, just because a ministry reaches millions of people on TV or whatever, it doesn't mean that it's a faithful Christian ministry. And so too, just because you come to church, put a little money in the offering, because you're polite and courteous to the pastor at the back door, because you serve the church in some various way, all necessary things, and you do it in His name, none of that makes you a Christian. God may put up with all kinds of stuff that looks Christian and sounds Christian. Again, Judas preached and healed people and cast out demons. It was not his preaching that was bad, Judas. It was not his preaching that was wrong. It was his heart. It was his faith and life. What we believe and what we do for Christ. That's what matters. What we believe and what we do. Actively obeying the revealed God is the test of the kingdom of God. Actively doing. You remember when Jesus said, "If you love me, then what? Feel. Have all these wonderful feelings." No. "If you love me," Jesus said, "be reformed and Presbyterian and preferably Orthodox Presbyterian." Is that what he said? No. "If you love me," Jesus said, "say one thing, but do another." No. John 14, 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." Brothers and sisters, your faith must be seen in your actions. Or else, you may very well be one of these many who come in that day and say, "But I went to church, I listened to Pastor Mark Markey. Doesn't that count for something?" No, it doesn't, by the way. The declaration given. I almost don't even want to preach these words. They're probably some of the most sobering words that you'll ever find in the Bible. "And then I will declare to them, I never knew you." What a stunning word. "I never knew you." Jesus will openly, publicly, and in a moment of judgment, make a statement, whatever their profession is, Who is this making this profession? What does it mean he doesn't know? I mean, the one who knows all things. The one who knows your heart. Right now. In this place, right now. At this moment, he says, I never knew. By the way, he's not talking about knowledge. Luke 16:15. God knows your heart. But I don't. Your spouse doesn't. But it is his relationship to them that he's talking about. Or maybe put it this way, the biblical sense of know. When it says that God's foreknowledge, he's talking about his love, his inclusion, his care. Jesus says, not for one moment have I had any real part in their lives. And he doesn't acknowledge them. They're acknowledging him. You who practice lawlessness, the literal Greek is workers energized lawlessness. They worked at this deception. Brothers and sisters, I would say this verse is saying, beware of fooling yourself into hell. Depart from me. Those ought to be wake-up words to every person who hears them. Who do you think you are? You think you're a Christian? I play the piano twice on Sunday. I've been an elder for 20 years, Emmanuel Chapel, longer than that. What evidence is there that you're a Christian? Do you love his word? If it's God's word, does that settle it with you? Brothers and sisters, I'm not asking if you are perfect. I know you're not. You shouldn't have to ask the question, is my pastor perfect? He's not. But if this is God's word, and this is clearly God's word, do I follow it? Or do I ignore the parts that I don't like? Is there a want to in you? I'm not asking, is there a perfection in you? You don't have it. You're not going to live perfectly. By the way, just saying you're not going to live perfectly is not an excuse for you to sin. There's that whole argument as well. Well, if I'm not going to be perfect, I may as well sin anyway. Paul very clearly says, God forbid that we should think that way. Well, God's going to forgive me, so I'll just go ahead and steal the money from the bank. Then I'll ask God to forgive me, and then I'll spend the money. That's terrible thinking. Is there a want to in you? This is what God's word says. I want to follow it. Then exercise yourself to godliness. Run the race. Walk the walk. Strive. Exercise yourself to godliness. Do the things that God calls you to do. In faith. And make an effort to do what he says to do. And then when you fail, don't presume you are a Christian because you say, I'm a Christian. This passage and other places in the Bible says, examine yourself. Elder Poquette, Elder Vanderhart, little old ladies. Well, sorry, I pointed at you, Tammy. People who are on the founding role of this church, examine yourself. You should be a fruit inspector. And when you fall short of God's revealed will, When you fall short of the Bible, what do? You repent. You confess. You renew. And you get up. And you try to walk worthy of the profession that you make, even though you fail. And you struggle. Like every Christian out, do you realize every believer in this place struggles with sin? Every believer in this church struggles with sin, right? Yeah. If you raised your hands, you'd all be Pentecostal. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before you in this text that is so searching, asking me after all these years of being a Christian, am I a Christian? Is my faith real, genuine? If I stood before you on Judgment Day, what would my claim be? I don't deserve to come into your heaven, Lord, but for the righteousness of Christ, for His perfect life, lived in my place, given in my place. Oh Lord, thank you for Jesus. And without Him, I have nothing at all. Lord, make us as holy as sinners can be in this fallen world as we draw closer to you. Draw close to us. Make us more like Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. I want to apologize for last week. We sang all the same hymns that we sang the week before. That's simply because I got back from the conference and was rushing to make sure we got the bulletin done and was working off of an old copy and all that thing. So, but it didn't hurt any of us. So let's close our worship today by singing 605, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. If you are able, let's stand together and sing 605.